Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, the cross and the crossroads.
Listen, man is at the crossroads between light and darkness, between truth and sin. It's never between truth and error. It's always between truth and sin. Hey, it's a question of darkness and light, sin and truth. And Jesus said, everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So here's the question. How do you come to the light? How do you do that?
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, where today we look at the key to understanding the Bible, God, and mankind. Really, it's the key that unlocks the door of eternal life. The key is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. The message today is entitled The Cross and the Crossroads, and it's from Pastor Jeff's eye-opening five-message series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And this resource is also our special gift to you to say thanks for your gift this month of any amount. Just go to fromhisheart.org for all the details. But first, are you ready to get some real perspective on what truly matters in life? Open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve.
He says in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." We can understand God and we can understand man in the cross, in the light of the cross. So first, let's see that the cross reveals the true heart of God. We see the true heart of God in the cross. The Creator is going to become a creature and die on the cross. Now, four aspects of the heart of God seen at the cross. First of all, at the cross we see the love of God. For God so loved the world. Now, there is a problem that God has to address. Man has sinned against God. And there's a problem with sin. Sin separates us from God. And sin separates us permanently from God. There's nothing man can do to fix that. So God is going to fix it. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's God who is motivated by his love. And God intervenes on behalf of man. We see that God is a God of love. Second aspect of God's character, we see that God is the righteous God. At the cross, we see the righteousness, the holiness of God. You know, the cross shows us that sin has to be punished. Oh, why doesn't God just forgive sin? Why did he have to send Jesus? Because God is just and righteous and holy, and sin must be accounted for. Sin must be paid for. Sin must be addressed. God can't just overlook sin, because if God overlooks sin, then God is not just, and God is not holy, and God is not righteous. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, it's talking about the fact that men are sinners. It's talking about the grace of God, and it says this, "For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." And God poured all of the sin of all of the world on his Son, and that was the justice of God, the righteousness of God, in dealing with sin, and he is both the justifier in that God himself became a man and paid for all of the sin. That's what we see at the cross. We see the love of God, for God so loved the world. We see the righteousness of God. We see the grace of God. The grace of God is the unmerited favor of God. And the scripture says concerning the Son, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. All of that is in the cross, the love of God, the righteousness of God, the grace of God. And then we see the mission of God through the cross. Verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world or to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. God sent Jesus for what purpose? Not to destroy sinners, not to judge, but to save. Jesus wants every single person to come to him, but they don't. And that leads us to the second point. The cross reveals the true heart of man. Not only the true heart of God, but the true heart of man. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God, produced in God. We see the heart of man in light of the cross. What do we see? Well, we see that man is in serious trouble. It says in verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already. He ends the chapter by saying that those who don't believe in the Son, the wrath of God abides on that person. You're in trouble, and I'm in trouble outside of Christ. Man is in serious trouble. We see the heart of man. There's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. All have gone astray. They've begun corrupt before God. Their throat is an open grave, Romans chapter 3. That describes man. No fear of God before the eyes of man. Man is in serious trouble because the wages of sin is death. And then we learn that man loves the darkness of sin. Jesus is the light of the world. He made that clear. John chapter 1 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Jesus said from his own lips, I am the light of the world. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. Man loves the darkness of sin, whatever that sin is. You know, sin expresses itself differently in different people. Nicodemus was a sinner. He was the most moral man in Israel, and he was a sinner. And he was filled with hypocrisy. He was filled with pride. He was filled with self-righteousness. Now, if you look at Nicodemus and compare him to Zacchaeus, the little sawed-off runt of a tax collector that everybody hated because he was a Jewish turncoat and he was a cheat, and a thief, you'd say, well, this man is righteous, this Nicodemus. This little Zacchaeus, what a scumbag. They're both sinners in the sight of God. And they both love their sin. Now, it might be different, but let me just boil it down to you. You know what sin is? Sin, S-I-N. Sin's the big I. Sin is, I want what I want when I want it. Sin is, it's all about me. Sin is, if I eat of this fruit, I will be like God, knowing good and evil, and then I can be my own God, I can be the captain of my own ship, I can be my own boss, and that's what I want, because I want to be in charge, I want to be in control, and that is sin. Now, however it manifests itself, if it manifests itself in your life in self-righteousness, where you pat yourself on the back because you feel so good about yourself, Well, that's one form of expression. Maybe it manifests in your life in all kinds of debauchery, like the prodigal son who wasted his father's wealth with wine, women, and song. Maybe that's your sin. Maybe it's greed for you. Maybe it's gossip for you. Maybe, I don't know what it is. God knows what it is. But light has come into the world. And what does the light do? Light exposes the darkness. And when the Lord came, the light began to shine. And men don't like the light. So they scurry for the darkness. Why did the religious leaders hate Jesus so much? Because he exposed them for their hypocrisy, for their self-righteousness, for their love of money, for all sorts of wickedness in their heart. And he stripped them bare, so to speak, before the people. The emperor has no clothes. Your religious leaders are in sin. And Jesus said that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to get in heaven before you guys will. Why? Because they see their need. They're not hiding their sin. They're bringing their sin to the Lord, and you guys are hiding your sin. Now listen, man loves the darkness, and the problem is the big I. It's with S-I-N, sin. And man is at a crossroads of light and darkness. Light and darkness, truth and sin. That's what Jesus says. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That word rather means much more, far better. Oh, I just love my sin more than I love the light of the Lord. I love my sin more than I love the cross. I love my sin more than I love the good news of the gospel. And I want to hang on to my sin. Nicodemus is one who, at least the Lord was working in his heart. He is seeking. And remember, no one seeks after God. God has to work in your heart to get you to start seeking. So the Lord is working in his heart. And we read at the end of John's gospel that Nicodemus is going to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. He had come to faith in Christ. But most of the Jewish religious leaders, they didn't. They were there saying, crucify him, crucify him. They hated him. Why? Because he exposed them, and they would rather have their sin than have God's son. They said in John chapter 11, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the greatest miracle outside of his own resurrection that he ever did was raising 4-day-old Lazarus. And the response from the Jewish leaders was this: if we let him go on like this, everyone is going to follow after him, and we will lose our place. And we can't have that. And they made a decision that day. He must die. Why? He raised somebody from the dead. How do you explain that? We can't explain that, but we know that we can't lose our place and our respectful greetings in the marketplace and our cushy job situation as we have this deal with Rome. We don't rock the boat and everything is good for us. That was their sin. That's what they were holding on to. And so they chose their sin rather than God's son. Listen, man is at the crossroads between light and darkness, between truth and sin. It's never between truth and error. It's always between truth and sin. Somebody says, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, but I have intellectual problems. No, you don't. You really don't. What you have is dirty, rotten sin. That's what you have. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He doesn't say in his head, there is no God. He says in his heart, there is no God. And the fool, Nabal, in the Hebrew, Psalm 14, verse 1, means the morally perverse person. Every person who says there is no God, you can trace their life and you can find a heart of sin. They don't want God to exist. They don't want God to be real. Why? Because then they're accountable to God for their sin. Hey, it's a question of darkness and light, sin and truth. And Jesus said, everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth, he comes to the light. So here's the question. How do you come to the light? How do you do that? Well, coming to the light means you come to Jesus, and coming to Jesus means that you get honest about your sin. That's what it means. See, these churches that say, we don't ever talk about sin in our church. We don't want to make people feel bad. Well, you're not going to help them. You might make them feel good for a little while, but you're not going to help them. And when they die, they're going to die and go to hell forever. See, these people that you don't want to offend are on the highway to hell. And you need to tell them, hey, this thing that you're embracing is killing you and sending you to hell. It's like, as crazy as it sounds, it's like a woman who's dying of cancer says to her doctor, doctor, you know, I'd like to get better, but I just don't want to give up my cancer. Like, well, is something wrong with you? I mean, why would you hold on to cancer? Cancer is what's killing you. And so for the Lord to work in a person's life, you have to deal with sin. You have to bring your sin to the light. Now, here's the problem in our world today. John talks about it in John chapter 1. He says this, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What do we hear today from people who want to identify with the sinner? We hear them say, well, we believe you. We agree with you. What you're doing is not sin. And if Jesus delays his coming for 1,000 years, 1,000 years from now, that'll still be sin because it's sin. And that doesn't change. And whether that's homosexuality or whether that's sleeping around or whether that's having sex with someone who's not your wife, not your husband, or whether it's any kind of perversion, it's sin. And it doesn't change because it's rooted in the character of God and those things are abhorrent to God. And listen, you don't do anybody any favors by saying, well, yeah, I can understand it from your perspective. I don't really think that's a sin either. I think God just is love and just God accepts. And you're not coming to the light with your sin. What are you doing? You're deceiving yourself and you're calling God a liar because you say, I have not sinned. This is not a sin. I have nothing to repent of. I have nothing to turn from. Listen, 1 John 1, 9, the verse in between. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Homo legeo, if we say the same thing that God says about our sin, then we can be forgiven. Then we can find salvation and cleansing in him. Hey, coming to Jesus means I get honest about my sin. I don't put lipstick on a pig. I call sin for what it really is, sin. And some people who don't want to hear that, listen, we speak the truth in love and we never back off on the truth. Why? Because it's the truth that sets people free. You can't jettison the truth because that's what they need. And so we hold on to that. Coming to Jesus means I get honest about my sin, and coming to Jesus means I go his way, not my way. See, what did we say sin was? Sin's the big I. It's you sitting firmly in the driver's seat of your life. And in order to be saved, I have to let go of the steering wheel. See, when think of it this way, I'm in non-Christian. I'm in the driver's seat of my life because that's where I was born. I was born in sin. I'm on the highway to hell. I'm speeding down the highway to hell. And all of a sudden, I see on the side of the road, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's actually in the middle of the road because he doesn't want me to keep going. And I can swerve and go past him or I can stop. And I say, well, Jesus, I'm going to stop. But here, you get in the back seat. He says, no, not getting in the back seat. Well, okay, Lord, well, why don't you get in the passenger seat right here? You know, God is my co-pilot. You can be my co-pilot. You can come in the passenger seat. He said, uh-uh. You want me to get into your life? You let go of the steering wheel and you move over and I will drive because I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was talking to a man one day about the Lord, about him turning from sin. And he said to me, he said, Jeff, he said, you need to know something about me. I like my sex and I like my beer. And he said, I'm not giving up my sex or my beer. I said, well, then Jerry, you can't come to Christ holding on to your sin like that. And he didn't. And then he had a stroke. I saw him in the hospital, saw him some weeks after that. He said, you know what? His life was a mess. And he said, you know what? He said, I told you I like my sex and I like my beer. He said, because of the stroke, I can't perform sexually anymore. And now I can't stand the taste of beer. Said, so those things have been taken away. I said, Jerry, your hands are on the steering wheel. I said, it's time for you to let go of the wheel. And I said, do you want to do that? And he said, I do. And tears began to run down his cheeks. And I said, then you pray with me. I said, put your hands out there like it's on the steering wheel. And you pray with me. And you let go of the wheel. And ask Jesus to save you. And he did. And there are no doubt some in this room today, and you've never let go of the wheel. You've never really dealt with your sin, and you're holding on, and you think you can let Jesus in the back seat, and it's going to be okay. And you can sing with the Doobie Brothers, Jesus is just all right with me. He didn't come to be just all right with you. He died on a cruel Roman cross to save you. Amen. And he says to anyone, the beauty of salvation, if anyone will believe, will look to me, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if you will look to me and look to the cross and put your faith and trust in me and turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, you can be saved too, and the Lord will come in and your life will never be the same. Hey, the ball's in your court. What are you going to do? What shall I do with Jesus? The song says, neutral you cannot be. One day your soul will be asking, what will he do with me?
A powerful reminder from Pastor Jeff Shreve today that now is the time. The Lord is reaching out to you now. He's offering you forgiveness now for your sins and freedom to live for him forever. He simply asks that we repent of our sin, accept the gift God is offering us in Jesus. Ask him to come in and save you and to be the Lord of your life. And when you do, you'll be born again, a born-again child of God. You'll know it because the desires of your heart will be to glorify God in all you do. Not so that you can be saved, but because you are already saved. You'll want to please and love God. To find out more about how to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and find that freedom that you're seeking, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link on the homepage. There's a lot of great resources there to get you started on this marvelous journey with Christ. Now, today's message on From His Heart was called The Cross and the Crossroads. It's from Pastor Jeff's series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And in this series, Pastor Jeff explains the true nature of God and what your true nature is, and how a holy God and a sinful people can coexist in heaven. This series is our thank you gift for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount. It's available in CD, DVD, USB flash drive, or as an MP3 download. And you can get yours when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or simply go to fromhisheart.org. Learn to understand the true God and how deeply He loves you and created you for His profound purpose. Ask for the series Perspective, Understanding God and Man when you make your gift today at fromhisheart.org. Our time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you so very, very much for joining us, and we hope that you'll be here tomorrow for the next insightful lesson from Pastor Jeff's Perspective series, when you'll discover, what does it really mean to be a compassionate person? Join Pastor Jeff Shreve for the lesson, The Contrast of Compassion, when he'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.